I've inherited a bad media of counting the number of McCurry's he brings up.
The warning and everything was not bad.
Okay. There's a fellow in the yeshiva last week who asked me why Sukkot was one day longer than Pesach. When I was thinking about the question, I thought, oh, that's an interesting question. I'm just not sure if it's correct. And perhaps we might need to change the formulation of the question. Because the question is obviously assuming that Shemini Atzeres counts as a day of Sukkot. And then you have a discrepancy where on Pesach you have a day of Chag, 5 days of Chol HaMoed and then a day of Chag. And here in Sukkot you have a day of Chag, 6 days of Chol HaMoed and then a day of Chag. So that would be an interesting question. But what if we come to the conclusion that Shemini Atzeres is really not part of Sukkot? So then, it doesn't mean it would be a bad question, it just means we have to change the question. Then it would turn out that, first of all, Pesach and Sukkot are both 7 days, but there's a major discrepancy in which Pesach has 2 days of full-fledged Yom Tov, and Sukkot only has one. Right, so the question would shift. Secondly, the question would be, well, what exactly is Shemini Atzeres? What is this other Chag appended to Sukkot? And there are indeed good reasons to think of Shemini Atzeret as being separate from Sukkot. Indeed, if you the way the Torah seems to describe Sukkot all the time, it describes a 7 day holiday. Right? If you look in the beginning, Parshas Emor, Perchav Gimel, Sukkot is described as follows: B'chamishasa yom lachodesh shvi hazeh chag Sukkot shivati mem laHashem. There's a 7 day holiday. Afterwards, we find out of Yom Hashmini Mikra Kodesh. The 8th day is also a day when we can't do melacha, but it seems that Sukkot is 7 days, and even if we think about the mitzvot of the day, the mitzvot of Sukkot don't apply in Shemini Atzeres, right? The mitzvot of Arba Minim and Sukkah, the essential mitzvot of Sukkot, neither of which applies in Shemini Atzeres. Now, there may be some confusion for those of us from Chutzlaretz. There may be some confusion for the following very simple reason. On Chutzlaretz and Shemini Atzeres, you are supposed to eat in the Sukkah. Right, but that's not because there's an inherent connection between Shemini Atzeres and Sukkot. It's because of the Sveika Dioma. That Shemini Atzeres could be the 7th day of Sukkot. It could be Shemini Atzeres. Therefore, the Gemara says, Yatuve Yatvina and Bruche Lo Mevarchina. You should sit in the Sukkah but not make a bracha. Now, it's true that a Hasidish Minag has developed not to sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. I have to admit, this is kind of bizarre because it's a Minag against an explicit line in the Gemara. But be that as it may, that's really a topic for another shiur. But there might be some confusion in Chutzlaretz where we start to think of Shemini Atzeres and Sukkot as being more linked. But the fact is, the mitzvahs of Hayom of Sukkot don't apply in Shemini Atzeres. And there's a famous Gemara where the Gemara has an acronym of Pazar Kashav, 6 aspects of Sukkot that don't apply in Shemini Atzeres. Without going into what they stand for, right, what Pesach and Reish, there's a whole debate what it stands for. But seemingly, there's a lot of evidence towards viewing Shemini Atzeres as essentially independent, essentially a separate chag. So that changes the question totally. So now we have to reformulate our question. Seeing as how Pesach and Sukkot are both 7 days, why does Pesach get another day of a full Yom Tov at the end? And what exactly is Shemini Atzeres? So let's start with the first question. So if you look at the sheet, if you go to source number 3, where in my haste, I initially wrote Rashi, but now I crossed it out into the Svarno. This is Svarno in Parshas Re'eh in Sefer Dvarim. So Svarno is dealing with the pasuk about the 7th day of Pesach, where it's called an Atzeret. So the pasuk says, Yom HaShvi Atzeret. So it says the Svarno, Netzuru Bo Yisrael Yachdav Lavod Al HaKeparach. They gather together, right? An Atzeret might be some kind of either stopping or gathering to serve Hashem on the 7th day. The Shavu Lo Shira B'Shvi Shal Chag HaMatzos. L'Fikach Nekadesh Oto Hayom. Ah, so it turns out, why is the 7th day of Pesach have Kedusha? Something very special happened about it. Seems as if we go back to Yetziat Mitzrayim, there are 2 essential moments of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The first essential moment is, of course, leaving. That's pretty basic, right? So that's the first day. That's the first D moment of Yetziat Mitzrayim. There's another big moment, which is, well, if the Egyptians catch you at the Yam, so that's not such a great Yetziat Mitzrayim. So the second great moment is when they cross the sea, they rid of the Egyptians, and they sing Shira. So that also, because of the historic significance, it's like there's 2 focal points to Yetziat Mitzrayim, day 1 and day 7. Each one calls for a day of full-fledged Kedusha of Yom Tov of Yisr Malacha. And if the point was not clear enough, the Svarna goes on to explicitly contrast it with Sukkot. V'lo tasem lacha, ki luleze, would it not be for this special event on the 7th day, lo haya shvi kadosh klal, kamoshu enyan b'chaga Sukkot, shein ha-shvi shalom mikra kodesh. So the Svarta makes the contrast very clear. Sukkot, the seventh day, is a regular day. Why? Because there is no focal point, no special event on Sukkot calling for Kedusha on the seventh day. So in terms of our first question, we now could come to an interim conclusion. Pesach and Sukkot are seven-day holidays. Pesach has more days of Kedusha. Why? Because there's two major moments. Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Day one and day seven. Sukkot doesn't have that at all. Sukkot, in fact, doesn't really even have like one major moment. It's an ongoing chag, but apparently there needs to be at least one day of full-fledged Yom Tov. That's the first day of Sukkot, and then you just revert to the Chol HaMoed Ma. Great. That, of course, still leaves our major question, what exactly is this new creation called Shemini Atzeres, if it's not somehow linked to Sukkot? One last point before we move on. I've been phrasing things so far as if Shemini Atzeres has no, following Sukkot, has no parallel with Pesach. Now, when one could in fact claim that there is a parallel, what would be the parallel? Sure, very good. So many Rishonim point this out. The Ramban and the Abarbanel and Emor there point this out. They would like to argue there's a parallel that Pesach, what do we have on Sukkot? 7 days of Chag, and then the eighth day being the Atzeret, Shemini Atzeret. So on Pesach, we've got Shiva Shvuotis Barlach, counting 7 weeks, also a unit of seven, followed by the eighth day of Atzeret of Shvuot. So you could make that parallel. Indeed, I'm not going to read it inside, but the Abarbanel in Source 5 here makes that parallel. Correct. I'll just point out, though, even if you make that parallel, I still think it doesn't fully answer our question, meaning Shavuos is a day that has a character. We all know what the character of Shavuos is. It's Matan Torah. Quite a character, right? A very significant content there. Even seeing the parallel between Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, we still know what the content of Shemini Atzeres is. What's it about? What is this day, even assuming that it's parallel? What is this day, especially if we don't view it as part and parcel of commemorating Sukkot? Great. So let's see a couple of views of the Rishonim. So we go to Rashi now, source 4. There's again Rashi and Vayikra there. Rashi says, what's Atzeret he? What is this 8th day? Atzart yetchem etzli, like a matni bread, atzar to stop. I hold you back with me. It's like a king who invites his children to the festive party for a certain amount of days. When the time came to leave, Amar, he says, Banai, my children, stay with me one more day. And here comes the famous three words. Kasha alai pridachem. Your departing is difficult for me. I don't want you to leave. I'm enjoying it so much. This is a very beautiful idea. That Shemini Atzeres would be this idea that here Am Yisrael is in the Beit, at the Beit HaMikdash, they're in Yerushalayim, by having a festive and spiritual moment, and Hashem doesn't want that to come to an end, so he tags on a day called Shemini Atzeres. Of course, this still leaves a question, which is, after Pesach and Shavuos, Am Yisrael also goes back home. Presumably Hashem does not say after Shavuos, I couldn't wait to get rid of you guys. Right, great, the chag's over. Right, presumably there also you could have said Kasha Alai Pridatchem. So it opens the question, what is special about Sukkot that calls for this moment of Kasha Alai Pridatchem? Too difficult to stop, we have to have one more day of Kedusha. What do you say, Matthew?
Well, it's hard to make that parallel to Pesach and Shavuot, because you have Pesach just like a week, then you have like this long period of time in between, then you have like one day Pesach as opposed to now. It's like holiday seasons, like one after the other.
Okay, good. Yeah?
Okay.
Good. Very good. I like both the answers so far. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to see some answers very similar to what Matthew and God suggested. Let's take a look at source 1. Now, I realize I might have to stop doing this in my source sheets because I wrote Rivash, but it's really extremely misleading. Because when people see the word Rivash, normally they think of a late Rishon known as Rav Yaakov Bar Sheshet, who wrote Shelot V'Tshuvot. He wrote late 1300s, early 1400s in Spain and North Africa. He's the Rivash, a very famous Tshuvot. He's a very interesting Tshuvot about philosophy and Kabbalah. He's one of these people who was both anti-philosophy and anti-Kabbalah. So he was an equal opportunity criticizer. This is not who this is, right? That's Rav Yaakov Bar Sheshet, the Rivash. Right? This is Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, who's a couple hundred years earlier a member of the Bali Atosvos and a commentator on Chumash. So I really have to stop doing this, because for years people are going to find my source sheets and try to figure out what parish on Chumash Rav Yaakov Bar Sheshet wrote. This is not the Rivash, is Rav Yosef Bechor Shor. So let's see what he says. Okay, we'll skip to... Actually, we'll start from the beginning. Atzeretu, ani ma'atzeretchem biyom ha-shmini, k'mo v'lo yatzrecha ha-geshem. Avagav shekvar zman shiva yamei sukavru, atzeretchem yom echad shlo tolchu adayim. Now here comes the mashal. Mashal, here's the parable. La'adam shayubam banav lakdil panav. Okay, we're back to this parable of the children attending this fest and family celebration. Probably so in Amar Lahem Matai Tachzur L'Roti. So the first party's over. I says, when are you guys coming back? Amlo Achamishim Yom. Dad will be back in 50 days. Amar Lahem L'Kul HaShom. She says, okay, go ahead. I'll see you in 50 days. Of course, a reference to the time period between Pesach and Shavuos. Shniah, the second party's over. Amar Lahem Matai Tachzur. Amrulo Kodem Arba Chadashim. We'll be back within 4 months. Amar Lahem L'Kul HaShom. Of course, a reference between time period between Shavuos and Sukkot. Ah, Pamsli Shira Marlem Lamatai Tachzeru. When are you guys coming back? Amilo Yeshlo Onas. Velo Nuchal Lavo Ad Shisha V'Shirach HaBashim. We're not going to be back for a good 6-7 months. Why did it say 6 or 7? Depending on Adar. Right, you might even stick another Adar in there, and the time gap between Sukkot and Pesach could be a full 7 months. That's a long break without the kids. Amar Lahem, he says to them, Inkein Takvu Adai Yom Echad. Right, stay with me one more thing. So according to Yosef Bechor Shor, he kind of picks up on Rashi's Mashal, but there's really like a technical point, but it's a significant technical point. So the biggest gap between Chagim is between Sukkot and Pesach. It's interesting, the Chagim are not right stationed in an exact equal duration throughout the 12-month year. Right, the gap between Pesach and Shavuos is not big at all. The gap between Shavuos and Sukkot is slightly larger, but not immense. But the gap between Sukkot and Pesach, that's a real gap. There's a real sense after Sukkot is over, like a kind of a slowing down of the world of Chagim. Now we, especially if you, let's say, pre-Chanukah, you take Chanukah out of the equation, right, let's say before there was a Chanukah, right, so maybe a significant amount of time without Chagim, that's it, right, you must have been tough in elementary school. You didn't have any special things to, like, distract you from the normal studies in school. No Chagim, that was it. Just regular learning. Right, so that's why Davka post Sukkot, we need a day called Shmini Atzeres. It's simply to deal with this big gap. As Hashem says, it's going to be a long time before you're back here and you shall align with me. Here we go. We need another day right now. That's Rav Yosef Bechor Shor. Okay, let's see the Sforna in source two. This is again a Sforna in Vayikrach of Gimel. She says a little bit differently. Atzeres, in Yana Atzirah, lo bilvad b'shbot mimlechad hedyot. Don't think that Atzeres means not to work. You could say Atzeres means stop doing work. But it must be more than that. The Torah already told us, Lo tasem lacha. Atzeret must be taking us one step beyond. What does it mean to be an Atzeret? But rather, Avalhi imza azharat amida is esman b'mkomor ha-kodesh, la'avod b'mkomor ha-em et ha-ker perach b'torah u'b'tfilah u'b'avodah. It's some kind of focusing in on the spiritual day. Right? We're going to learn. We're going to daven. We're going to serve Hashem. It's beyond, it's not just a negative of not doing malacha. An Atzeret means it gets filled with positive content. Kinyan, the Sham Ish Mavdesha Ubiyoma who netzara fnei Hashem. Vomro kitshu tzom kiru atzara. Ah, when Yoel Hanavi calls for a fast day and he says kitshu tzom kiru atzara, what does he mean by that phrase kiru atzara? He doesn't mean don't do malacha. Kiru atzara means fill that fast day with content, daven and learn and the like. That's what it means to be an atzara, to be an atzara. Fine. Vazeh derech amayeyu kitshu atzara labal. Here comes the key line. Asher bo shomu kol smachot haregalim. Hu kodesh liot yom atzeret yatzru b'mkomen hakodesh. V'yitziyah simchato simcha shel toru masim tovim. What's the key point in Sukkot according to him? Bo shomu, meaning Sukkot is the end of the... It's not so much Sukkot per se, it's the end of the whole process. Meaning the regalim have an order. There's an order of regalim which has halachic ramifications. We spoke over this in Rosh Hashanah. Right, there's a machlokas regarding Baal Tacher. If someone takes a vow to bring a karban, so one position says, whenever you took that vow, you have 3 chagim. Right, when would someone, let's say the average Jew who lived in Tveria, who made an eder to bring a karban. So he wasn't going to make a special trip to bring his karban. He would bring his karban when he went to the Beit HaMikdash anyway, namely Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So is... According to one day in the Gemara, whenever you made that neder, you've got 3 chagim. According to the other day in the Gemara, interesting day, you have as long as it takes to do the 3 chagim in order. So if you made your neder right at, best time to make an eder would be right after Pesach. Right? If you made an eder to bring a carbon right after Pesach, according to this position, you would then have, you would pass a Shavuah Sukkos, another Pesach Shavuah Sukkos before the time would be up that you would have to fulfill your obligation. Which indicates, what does that position indicate? That the Chagim have an order. That even though the Jewish year begins with Tishrei, but the Chagim year, from the Chagim perspective, it begins with Nisan. So it's really Pesach Shavuah Sukkos. According to the Sforna, where did Shmini Atzeres get tacked on? It's like after the whole Chagim is over, then Hashem says you need one more day. Okay, so far, according to this image of this Kasha Lai-Pi.com, we need one more day. We've got two ways to explain why it's right after Sukkot. According to the Bechor Shar, it's simply the longest duration. We need another day before this long gap, this long break. According to the Sforna, it's not so much Sukkot, it's Sukkot at the end of the whole thing. Right, Hashem says, what a year, we had a Pesach, we had a Shavuot, we had a Sukkot, it was a great year. One more day, one more focus on Torah, Tefillah, etc. Everyone okay with that so far? Great. Now comes an earth-shattering Nitziv. This is an amazing Nitziv. Let's look at the source 6. Okay, the Nitziv, I always like to say this, it's really, I think, an important point. The Nitziv was a very unusual Rosh Hashiva for the last 200 years. Right, normally to be a Rosh Hashiva, what do? You publish a sefer on Gemara, on the Rambam, right, on halachic topics. That's what you do if you're a Rosh Hashiva. But the Nitziv did that as well, but he also taught Chumash in the Yeshiva, which is not something not all Rosh Hashivas do. In Volozhin, the classic Yeshiva of Europe in the 19th century, so the Nitziv gave a Chumash year once a week, and that Chumash year became the Hamek Davar. Nitziv in general seemed to be someone who was kind of a wide-ranging, who was very curious about the broader range of Torah literature. To give an example, he wrote a parish on the Gemara, he wrote Shilut B'Tshuvot, he wrote a parish on Chumash, he wrote a parish on the Shiltot of Rav HaChaigon, which has kind of rescued this obscure work from obscurity, basically. Right, people know about the Shiltot because the Nitziv wrote his commentary on it. He wrote a commentary on the Sifri, the Midrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim, which also was not frequently learned in the world of the Yeshivot. Nitziv was just a very talented and wide-ranging fellow. Let's see what the Nitziv says here. Okay, this is the Nitziv again in Vayikra. Atzerehi, Tachlit HaMoadim, Source 6. What's the purpose of the festivals? Why do you have these holidays? Masharatza Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shiit Asfu Yisrael Yushalayim, Bler Od Bazara. Why did Hashem demand that we gather in Yushalayim and be seen in the Beit HaMikdash? Hu Kedei Lemod Chachma U'Musar Min HaKohanim. Very interesting idea. Shai B'Yushalayim M'Kol Kol Devar Hashem. Again, maybe it didn't always happen, but according to the Hamik Devar, according to the Nitziv, ideally, Aliyah Negel is supposed to be a very powerful educational and religious experience. All of Am Yisrael go together to Yerushalayim, we see the Beit HaMikdash, and apparently the Kohanim were supposed to represent some kind of ideal mode of behavior. And we were supposed to see these Kohanim and emulate them to some degree. That's what it was all about, these Chagim. U'misham lamdu eichlit na'eg b'shuvah ma'achar chag le'beitam. And this would carry you over, right? You'd come back on a religious high, and that would get you through the next few months, work in the fields in your farm. V'hine, now comes a very interesting idea. B'yamim harishonim shel hachag, hayukol Yisrael trudim. In the first days of Sukkot, Am Yisrael is very busy. Here gets a little something to God's point, but he's going to take it in a different direction. What were they busy with? B'ri'iyah u'b'chagiga, u'b'shalmei nedev v'nedava abba b'chalamoy mikol shana. A lot of sacrifices, right? There's a carbon re'iyah, there's a carbon chagiga, that's what I just mentioned, the shalmi nedev nedava. What's the shalmi nedev nedava? You took an oath all year round to bring a shlamim, so it was chagim time that you bring it. Now there's a further point here, which maybe we'll come back to later, time permitting. The Nitziv thinks that was especially done on Sukkot. Even though you could have done that all the chagim, Sukkot was the time to really bring your shlamim. That was the time to do it. So Sukkot is a very busy time, Sukkot. So what? The rak biyom acharon shel chag, only on the last day, shuv lo kabanot riyah v'chagiga. You didn't have them. Ela misha avar v'levi b'rishon. So it makes an interesting side point here. There is one sense in which Shmini Atzeres is related to Sukkot. And that is that if you didn't bring the kabanot of Sukkot on Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres is a day of tashlumin. It's a day you can make up. Right? So it does create a certain sense of connection, but I still think in general it's safe to say Shmini Atzeres is mostly an independent chag. But, and it didn't really have so many karbonot. It was only if you didn't fulfill your duties on Sukkot, you'd bring them on Shmini Atzeres. Now let's look at the last two lines. V'hayu kol Yisrael pnuyim. So all of Am Yisrael was free, az l'kabel musar v'tochacha. Umishum hachi nikra yom hashmini atzeret. I think this is a fascinating idea. Let me just put this idea in context before we move on. We certainly, from a Torah perspective, we certainly see mitzvot as the road to a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? We are not of the religious position that says that ritual acts kind of aren't really where it's at, or they just get in the way. All it is it's all in there. It's all in the heart. Just you and God. Right? We don't take that position. Right? Take the position that mitzvot are the road to having the proper relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But even that being said, the Netziv says something very interesting. There still remains the danger that someone will be so involved in performing mitzvot that they'll forget about actually having a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're so consumed in the desire to fulfill mitzvot, they'll forget about that crucial element. So the Netziv here portrays someone being consumed because of karbanos. That there's so many sacrifices you'll be bringing on Sukkot, you won't have a chance to simply stop and think for a second. But even without the world of karbanos, I think one could make a contemporary parallel. Now let's go back to the middle of Chol HaMoed. Let's say I wake up one morning in Chol HaMoed, I spend the morning worrying that my aravos are too dried out. Right, so I'm looking around for some new aravos because my aravos are dried out. Then I start to worry that I have too much sunlight coming in my sukkah. So then I start to think about whether it's, I start calculating and I look for more schach somewhere. So by the time the day's over, so it's very nice, I spend the whole day doing mitzvot. But maybe I didn't once even think about, I don't know, there's Hashem, I have a relationship with him, he did something great for us historically, right, that's what this is all about. Right, the mitzvot, again, is not to say that we normally view mitzvot as a barrier. Normally we view mitzvot as the root to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it is also conceivable that they could sometimes serve as a barrier, or a replacement almost. So it's, I think it's a fascinating idea, and a very powerful idea, that's Shmini Atzeres. So if someone says, why does Shmini Atzeres not have any character, the answer is that's precisely its character. Right, that all through Sukkot we're so busy, we have Karbanos, we have Mitzvot, right? It's very nice, and that's what we need. We need all that. But what if all that has prevented someone from actually sitting down and thinking about his relationship with Hashem? Here comes Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres comes in at the end to provide that kind of opportunity. One second. So I just want to point out one thing. Someone pointed out, I gave this year 2 hours ago, so somebody pointed out a very interesting comment. I've often thought that, why did Simchas Torah develop? So Simchas Torah, Simchas Torah doesn't appear in the Gemara at all. Simchas Torah is post-Gemara. So I always thought that Simchas Torah was to give content to the Chag, that there was a sense, maybe even more pronouncedly in Chutz Laretz, we have 2 days of Shemini Atzeres, and we're not even doing any mitzvahs, so all we're doing is, what is God is Yisra Malacha. So maybe there's a sense that kind of lacked a little context. So it came along Simchas Torah to save the day and provided some context. But someone pointed out to me correctly so that in Chutz Laretz, there's still a remnant of Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because you have one day we call Shmini Atzeres and the next day which we call Simchas Torah. But here in Israel, once we start the minhag of Simchas Torah, it turns out that Simchas Torah ends up filling the content of Shmini Atzeres, which again, I'm not against. It's a very beautiful minhag, Simchas Torah. But as I pointed out, though, according to this Netziv, it could be that we have to be wary that in some ways almost takes the sting out of what Simchas Torah is really, what Shmini Atzeres is really supposed to be about. Shmini Atzeres is not supposed to have a specific content. That's the whole idea. That we, there's not any one thing we're worried about fulfilling. It's simply about us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Yeah, he focused on Kabbalah. Not what I said. I think they are, except for the except for Shmini Atzeres. I think you're right. You bring good points, Yakovich. I didn't focus on. I mean, you could say that the students are too preoccupied. You could say the teachers, the models are too preoccupied. So Shmini Atzeres comes along, and Shmini Atzeres is relatively. By the way, it's not that there's no karbanos on Shmini Atzeres, but it's certainly low key compared to the rest of Sukkot. Yeah.
Why is Simchas Torah? I mean, it almost seems that Simchas Torah is you have Shmini Atzeres, and you're like, okay, this is the day that you have nothing to do, so concentrate on your relationship with God. I mean, that's a little broad.
Okay. So you could say, someone said this lesson, you could say that Simchas Torah is our choice of how to do that.
I mean,
you could say that. You could say that.
The Shlomo of the Simcha.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that Shmini Atzeres was perfectly left open ended almost, and we've chosen to realize that through the avenue of Simchas Torah. You could say that. It's a nice track.
There are no mitzvah, I mean, except for the reading.
No, but according to this, that's exactly the point. Meaning, All right, although the by the time you get home from shul, it's like 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. Okay, good. So there is a parallel to this of a chag without content in terms of shuot, and without content in terms of specific mitzvos. Point out a couple, two things in terms of that. One is that at the time of the Beit Hamikdash, there were shuot did have a little bit more specific content in terms of the shtei lechem. Secondly, there are some rishonim who say that it has to do with the nature of Torah, that Torah cannot be realized in one symbolic act. It's not like matzah, you can commemorate an event in like Yetzias Mitzrayim in one act. But somehow, Matan Torah, it almost can't be reduced to a single. There's a discussion of that in Kedis Yitzchak, if you're curious about it. In Kedis Yitzchak and Emma, he discusses why there's no specific mitzvahs for Shavuos. I think Rav David Tzvi Hoffman deals with it also. Yeah, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, I'm pretty sure he deals with it also in Vayikra. Okay, let's move on to part two. Okay, so that's part one this year. So now we have some theories of what Shemini Atzeres is about. We're going to argue it's separate from Sukkot. Hashem is saying, Kasha Lai Pri Datchem. According to the Bechor Shor, because a long gap is coming. According to the Sforna, it's the end of the whole process of the Goliim. According to the Nesiv, very fascinating. Yes, we've been so busy with mitzvahs and karbonos and sukkahs, we need a day just for Torah tefillah without other things to be nervous about. Okay, very interesting idea of the Nesiv. I think the Nesiv is a very important religious point. Again, I would say there has to be a balance kept. That the one hand, according to Torah, we think mitzvahs are the royal road to reaching a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. At the same time, I think the Nesiv is almost like a good reminder. Like someone could be so focused on mitzvahs, they never think about that relationship. And maybe that's what the Nesiv is all about. Okay, let's look at the other side here. Okay, let's take a look, instant contrast between the Rambam and the Abarbanel. Now, the Rambam in the Bar Nuchim, in the third Chelek, goes through reasons for all the mitzvot. And there's a chapter there on the Moadim, which this is Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Gimel, which is very interesting. A lot of it I find fascinating and compelling. I have to admit, there are some of the reasons that are a little too technical for me. Now we're going to see some of the technical reasons, and the Abarbanel is going to react to it. Let's see the Moreh Nebuchim in Source 10. Aval yamim tovim hay kulam l'smachot ulit kaliyot. It's great. Yamim tovim, we have joy, we have gatherings. Hagormim hana'a shiyech rechit l'adam al rov. People enjoy them. V'hem gam mo'ilim b'tkarviyot ha'drushot li'or ben b'nei adam b'kvutzim ha'medinim. It's great, right? Good social opportunity. Oh, it's just great, the chagim. V'yichur otam hayamim yeshlam tamim. HaPesach, there we go, specifically. Now the Rambam is going to ask a question here. Let me just give one piece of background. He's going to ask why Pesach and Sukkot are 7 days and Shavuot is 1 day. Let's see what he says. HaPesach hari inyano mefursam. Pesach, its matter is clear. We all know, no one can say why is there Pesach. We know Pesach is to commemorate leaving Egypt. Ve'yotov shivat yamim, why is it 7 days? Lefisha machzor shivat yamim, because this unit of 7 days, like, we've got natural units. One natural unit is the day. Another natural unit is the month. Right? Certainly the lunar calendar is the natural unit. But a month, a day would probably be too short. A month would be too long. So we go for the middle unit. What's the middle unit?
Week.
The week. Very technical. We're looking for a unit between the day and the month. That's the first thing the Rambam says. Now let's skip to after footnote 13. After footnote 13, he's explaining why Shavuos is just 1 day. This great event called Shavuos of Matan Torah is only 1 day. So we commemorate it also for just 1 day. So that makes a lot of sense. Why is Shavuos 1 day? Well, Pesach and Sukkot are commemorating events that were a process. They took time. Shavuos is commemorating events that was not a process. In fact, I think I would argue, and in the Abarbanel language, it's going to be more clear, this is a very important educational point here, or important religious point. We need to emphasize that Matan Torah had an end. Because if Matan Torah didn't have an end, there's a sense that the Torah can always be revised. Right? It's an ongoing process, Matan Torah. Right? Revelation just goes on forever. It's great. So we just keep adapting and changing it. So it says to Rambam, no, it's not the way it goes. Shavuos is a one-day thing. Hashem gave the Torah, and that's that. We can interpret the Torah, but the Torah is fixed. Right? We have the Torah. So that's why Shavuos is 1 day, to commemorate a single event that comes to a close. Okay, here we go. Avachil matzah, when it comes to eating matzah, ilu hayayom echad, let's say we only had matzah for 1 day, lo hayinu magishim oto, we wouldn't feel it. V'lo inyano nikar, wouldn't be recognizable. Why? Ki pamim rabot, ochel adam min echad min amachal, miyomayim v'shlosha. People have all kinds of weird diets for a day or two. See, the Rambam again is being very technical. So if we just said Pesach was only one day long, people would say, oh, so he's on a new diet, the Masha diet. Right? No, you don't eat a challah per day and you lose 5 pounds. Right? But only after a week is it clear that somehow something else is going on. So the Rambam gives some very, at least regarding Pesach, seems to give rather technical reasons for the 7 days. 7 days is the middle unit between a day and a month. It's enough time to make you notice something's going on. Sure, so he seems to give a more essential reason. Okay, let's look at the Barbanel now in source 8. The Barbanel is going to have a big skittish. In fact, when I tell Rabbi Reich about this, he's going to be upset he didn't put it on the sheet. Because I see what he gave Shira. When I tell him about this to Barbanel, this is going to appear on that sheet next time he gives the Shira. Let's see the Barbanel. Source 8. Vine nish'are elai l'dad b'zev b'ezi diot. Two things I still want to know, says the Barbanel. Ha'achat, the first thing. Lama hayu ha'regalim shalosh lo pachav l'yotem. Why are there three festivals in Judaism? What's wrong with 4 or 7? Yeah. This, the Barbanel, is in... Let me just see. One was from Bayikra, one was from Dvarim. Let me just see which one this was. I think this is in Dvarim. Dvarim Ted Zion, I believe. Okay. Here we go. I'll tell you the reason why there's three festivals. Hashem does a lot of good things for us. But there are three major acts of kindness that Hashem did for us. Three great gifts. What are the three great gifts? The Harem Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right here we were, our entire people were slaves. God took us out and made us a nation. Umata and Torah. Right, hard to not rank that on the list. The Yerushat Aretz and Herding Land. Those are the three great gifts that Hashem did for us. Now here's very interesting. So now it's very tempting. Wait, if there's three great gifts Hashem did for us, we've got three regalim. Let's do a little matching there. Now, two of the three are obvious. The third one's going to be a little bit of a chiddush. Here we go. Right, it's obvious what the chiddush is, right? It's clear that Pesach is obviously Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And it's clear that Shavuot is Matan Torah. It's not obvious that Sukkot is Yerushat Aretz, but the Bible doesn't argue that it is. That's what Sukkot is about. According to him, the theme is not just that we survived in the Midbar, but we survived in the Midbar and we got somewhere. That's very interesting. What do you think of Sukkot just as the process of survival, or do you think about where it was headed? So where one could say Sukkot is about Hashem protecting us in the Midbar, the Barbanel would have Sukkot being about Hashem getting us through the Midbar to get to Eretz Yisrael. And then Sukkot becomes about the third gift, by Yerushat Aretz. Here we go. V'lechei tziva she'alu l'beitar shalosh pen b'shana. B'chag ha'matzo l'hodol l'Hashem al she'yotziam m'mitzrayim. That's number one. U'b'chag ha'shvuo l'hodol l'fanav ha'shanatan l'hem et ha'torah. U'b'chag ha'sukkot l'hodol l'fanav al ha'aretz v'atuateha. Now here is, by the way, something the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the same path could help him out a lot. What does the Rambam say is the reason for the Arba Minim? Anyone know? The Rambam says Arba Minim is to commemorate this very idea that we were in a barren and arid environment and we made it to a lush green land. Right? That all this greenery, all this foliage is about getting past the Midbar to get to a place where we have a land, where we could grow things, we could have produce. Right, so according to Rambam Shad Verol, that's the Sukkot is about making it to Eretz Yisrael, and that's the Arba Minim. Right, here we are, we made it, we have produce. Okay. V'yu Yimei Chag, now the Barbanel is going to get to the 7 day business. V'yu Yimei Chag, Pesach Shiva Yamim. Why is Pesach 7 days long? Lo Lioto Hekeif Beinoni, Kamosh Zachar Rav Hamorah Perek Mem Gimel Chelek Shlishi. No, like the Rambam says, it's kind of the middle unit between the day and the month. The Barbanel also didn't like the Rambam's reason. It's got to be something more essential than that. Not just we were looking for any amount, some kind of technical unit. What's it about? So he says a very good pshat. Ki im lefi she'me'eitchi yatsumi Mitzrayim ad she'nichnesu bayam, hayu shiva yamim, v'achlu min ha'matzoda she'otzi Mitzrayim kol otam shivat yamim, v'az nitpu ha'mitzriyim v'ayta tshuva shlema. It's very simple. Why is Pesach 7 days long? Because that was a story. It was a 7 day story. It begins with the Exodus, with leaving, on day one of 15th of Nisan. And it ends when the Egyptians can't trouble them anymore and they make it past God splits the sea. Right, so why is Pesach 7 days? It's very simple, that's the story. Just like we explained according to the Sforno, why there's full Kedusha on day one and full Kedusha on day seven, is commemorating this dark event of Pesach. That's also why it's a 7 day long holiday. That's what it is, it was a 7 day story. Okay, here we go. Fourth line from the bottom. Amnam Chag HaShavuot HaYom Echad. Shavuos is only one day, like the Rambam says, Ki Yom Matan Torah, Shayach Harim Yuchad. It's like Matan Torah. Now here, the Barbanel adds a word which made me think about what I said before. He says Shmanta was not only Echad, but it was Miyuchad. What's he adding there? Echad means that, okay, it was a one-day event, but it was Miyuchad. It was not just a one-day event, but
unique.
Right, that's we're trying not just to commemorate the duration of Matan Torah, we're trying to say something about Matan Torah. Matan Torah is not an endless process. Right, learning Torah is an endless process, but Matan Torah comes to an end. Right, Torah has to be defined on some level. So Matan Torah is Echad and Miyuchad, so that's why Shavuos is a one-day event. We got the Torah and that's it. Ah, what about Sukkot? Now here the Barmanel says something fascinating. Ukamoy Luya, the Chaga Sukkot Yagamhu Shivat Yamim, Mifne Shivat Haminim Shinishtabcha Behen Eretz Yisrael. Really fascinating. Now, I don't know if this last symbolism is the easiest shot, but it's certainly very interesting. And the basic idea of Sukkot being about Yerushal Eretz, I think, is very, very convincing. But here, the Barbanel would like to say that's the symbolism, right? That seven is a number we associate with Eretz Yisrael, right? The seven fruits that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with, and that's why Sukkot is 7 days. So one thing that I've been thinking about according to Barbanel, I don't have a good answer. If anyone does, I'm open to it. According to Barbanel, Sukkot is about Yerushal Eretz. I'm fine with that. Very nice. According to Barbanel, the 7 days is parallel to the Shabbat Minim. That's also okay with me. Just one thing I'm wondering about, like, if we're so interested in making that point, wouldn't it be easier, instead of taking the Arba Minim, to actually take the... Yeah, that would make more sense, right? According to that, we should get up there on Sukkot and hold the remote, right? And whatever else, right? The seven and Vash, we're all there. That would be the greatest commemoration of this idea. Now, I'm not saying it undermines the Barbanel's idea. I think it needs thinking about. According to Barbanel, why we take something else, right? If this is the whole focus, and we're even doing the seven to match the Shavuot Minim, and yet we take four other Minim when it comes to the mitzvah of Arba Minim. Yeah. So the truth is that when I gave this year 2 hours ago in a Sukkah in Zayit, someone made something very funny. Someone said, you know, I've been wondering for years, like, why in people's Sukkahs they put up pictures of the Shivat HaMinim. So it's very good. I said, now that we learned this in Barbanel, it's finally been justified for the first time. We never knew what that had to do with Sukkot. But according to this Barbanel, it's right there. That's what it's all about. Yeah, Dan.
Well, maybe it's not so easy. I mean, your Shivat Eretz is not the easiest thing in the world. So just to hold up the Minim, it's like, just hold up the Shivat Minim. It's like, oh, we've got it. It's very easy. But instead, we hold up a sword. And we hold, there was the on Rav Reich Sheet, the Rakeach, the commemoration of the Milchemet, the Kibbutz.
Okay, although at that point, though.
We have all the time.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, that's
it
good, yeah.
It takes a big effort. It's not just.
Point that one thing, though, meaning once you're doing that, you might say the Arba Minim really has multiple symbolism. Meaning, because the idea of the Lulav is kind of the victory march. It's like a very well-known symbolism, although usually that's more related to not so much Eretz Yisrael, but following Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Like we feel like we were victorious in judgment, and then we're able to express our joy. So you're right. You might have to say the Arba Minim are reflecting other other issues in the world.
Coming together,
okay. Look, yeah. I mean, if you end up saying that the Arba Minim is about multiple symbolisms, then there's a reason why those had to be picked rather than the Shabbat Minim. You could say, you could work it out that way. This is one major theme in Sukkot, but not the sole theme. Okay, good. You guys up for one more idea? You want to call this year? What do you guys want? What do you say? One more?
Okay.
One more idea. Again, so two big chidushim so far tonight. We had the Netziv's major chidush, that the whole idea of Shmiat Teres is that there's no mitzvot. That we've had so many mitzvot in Sukkot, we didn't have our chance to just think about Hashem. Here we go. Shmini Atzeret is our chance. Second major chiddush of tonight was the Barbanel, that Sukkot is really about Yerushal Eretz. It's not just about surviving the Midbar, it's about getting there. According to the Barbanel, that makes a lot of sense. Three greater things that Hashem did for us. We got three chagim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Right? Yetziyah Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and Yerushal Eretz. And the 7 days of Sukkot are the parallel to the Shavat HaMinim. Okay, one last idea. The Netziv, once again, noticed a discrepancy between the way the Torah talks about Sukkot and the way it talks about Pesach. And the discrepancy is as follows. Listen to the following psukim. In Sukkot, I'm in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, we have Chag Sukkot Shivat Yamim LaHashem. Okay, here we go. In Pesach, we have the following. So let me do, actually, in Sukkot, let me do another one. It's even stronger. In Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Tet, it says, Tachogu et Chag Hashem Shabbat Yamim. So what do we have? We've got Chag for 7 days. In Pesach, listen to the Pesukim carefully. in Vayikach of Gibel, ובחמישה עשר יום לחודש הזה חג המצות להשם, שבעת ימים מצות תאכלו. What did it just say? On the 15th day of Nisan there's chag. 7 days you should eat matzah. But it's not obvious that the word chag is modifying the entirety of the 7 days. But again, I admit this is debatable. But the Nitziv says if you read Chumash carefully, turns out that in Sukkot we have the word chag associated with all 7 days. On Pesach we do not. The word chag is more specifically associated with the first day. What does the Nitziv make of this? Let's look at Source 12. He does this a few places in Chumash. Now the Hamik Davar also has footnotes on the bottom called the Harchiv Davar. So this is his footnotes. Harchiv Davar, here we go. V'ru'i l'dat, di'ava gav d'shnei modim Pesach v'sukkos nishtavu b'ikar adin, even though they really have the same halacha, what's the halacha? D'b'shnei mitzvah b'rishon, on both those chagim, when he's supposed to bring the carbon chagiga, when's the best day to bring it? The first day, v'imloik rishon mashlim kol shivah, but if you didn't bring it the first day, you could do compensation all the chag. Ukedita b'chagiga daf ter v'chagotem adol chag l'Hashem. Yachol, you might think yechogeg v'leik kol shivah, you could do it any day. Tamalom oto, oto ato chogeg. That's the Gemara that says l'chachilo, you're supposed to bring it on day one. Uvesukol nayratam. So if you just had that Gemara, you think Sukkot and Pesach are the same. And both of them, you're supposed to bring the carbon chagiga on the first day. But if you don't, you've got 6 more days to take care of it. Now it says that it's despite that seeming parallelism, there's a difference. Mikomikom bepashta dekra. If you read the simple pshat, the psukim says in the tziv, yesh hefresh min Pesach v'sukot. There's a big difference. The b'sukot tiv v'chagotem chag l'Hashem shivat yamim tachog l'Hashem elokecha. There again, the word chag is constantly being associated with the totality of the 7 days. Lein mikro yotzei midei pshuto gamkein. Kmo shebiyanu b'parsha demordo shebeteres kohanim. U'parsha's pinchas. Hochachot midiukei dekroi b'torah. Okay, now the next abbreviation, I think it's a mistake. It shouldn't say vav nun vav chaf. I think it should say vav nun vav nun. So it should be v'nedarim u'nedavot. V'nedarim u'nedavot shayu regilum l'harbos b'chol amoyed sukkot. That's, remember what he said before, that according to the Tziv's theory, the chag they would bring all their extra vows, carbon sacrifices, was chol amoyed sukkos. So all these things they'd bring chol amoyed sukkot, shlamim v'todah l'fnei ha-geshem, u'meila haya kol yom chag v'simcha. Ah, v'lo nitma'at midrash d'oto l'chol v'd'chagiga. Lafuki v'pesach mevur b'chol pashtamad v'shalinka chag yom yishum v'ladu. The Tziv like to say as follows. Pesach is one real day for bringing the carbon, which is day one. It's true you have 6 days you can compensate. But the real day is the first day. That's the chag day, so to speak. On Sukkot, even though the mitzvah has been covered in chagig on the first day, since Sukkot was the time to bring all your nedarim and nedavos, so every day took on a chag quality. So Sukkot has 7 days of chag. Pesach has essentially 1 day of chag. Now, which other halachic discrepancy, the Nitziv doesn't mention it here, he does mention it in another place, obviously fits in very nicely to this. Hallel. So we know very well that on Sukkot we say Hallel, Shalem, complete Hallel every day. On Pesach we only say complete Hallel on the first day. Why is that? So there's two famous theories. The famous Yalkut Shimoni that says that since the Egyptians died in the seventh day, there's an element of sadness in Hashem's world, so we don't say full Hallel. That's the Yalkut Shimoni on Pesach. Right? There's a Gemara in Erechin that says that on Sukkot the Karbanos change. You bring a different amount of Parim every day. Therefore each day has its own quality. Where on Pesach, since you bring the same carbon every day, it's basically all the same. No calling for new hal. So the Nitziv, it seems to me, the Nitziv's theory works very well with Akhmar and Erchid, that all of this is a reflection of the same thing. That Pesach, there isn't this sense of drama, of significance of days 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And that's why the carbonists remain the same. That's why there's no special Chag L'Hashem. That's why there's no Hal Sholem. On Sukkot, somehow there's an added dimension to the days of Chol HaMoed. They have this Chag quality. There's a change in Karbanos, and therefore they also call for a Hallel Shalom. Yeah.
How often Shabbat
Chol Moed,
the Torah, the block at the end changes, what on Pesach is Midrash Shabbat.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah. No, so according to Yalkut Shimoni, since you can't say it on Shvi, it's like, how could you say Hallel Shalom on a Chol HaMoed day if you're not going to say it on... It like works backwards. Right? One said you don't say on three, so by default you can't say it on 2 through 6. Okay, so just to sum up this last chiddush and put it all together, so another chiddush that the Netziv that Chol HaMoed Sukkos each day is a special chag quality lacking on Pesach. It turns out that there might be an interesting difference between Pesach and Sukkos. So two interesting differences that work together. What do we say so far? According to our current theory, Shemini Atzeres is really a separate chag. So Pesach and Sukkos are both 7-day holidays. What does Pesach have? Day 1 of full-fledged Kedusha, day 7 of full-fledged Kedusha. Sukkos lacks that. However, what does Sukkos have that Pesach doesn't have? This kind of steady chag quality that encompasses Chol HaMoed as well. I would like to argue that this is reflective of a bigger difference between Pesach and Sukkos. What's Pesach? Pesach is dramatic salvation. Dramatic salvation that occurs in Yetzias Mitzrayim and occurs in Kriyas Yamsuf. So days 1 and 7, which have the drama, they're the days, right? They're days of full-fledged Kedusha. What's Sukkos? Sukkos lacks that drama. But lacking drama, Sukkos has another strength. What is Sukkos? An ongoing salvation that continues. So the ability to survive in the Midbar again and again, day after day. So maybe it doesn't have anything parallel to Pesach to call for a special Kedusha on day 1 and day 7, but it's precisely its ongoing, consistent quality that enables it to have this constant Chag element even on the days of Chol HaMoed. All right, any questions? Guys, I wish you a wonderful evening of learning, and Chag Sameach.